Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Well, you guys mentioned in that first half how Ben Roethlisberger was shaken up on that first half sack. Now, he was being looked at by the doctors during the halftime. He also left the half early. I asked Mike Tomlin about that, and he said he fully expects him to come out here and play, but he has not yet come onto the field, guys, and you can see that Josh Dobbs is out there.
And the question is, will we see Ben Roethlisberger coming back here for the final 5:20? Shannon, any word on that? Here he comes.
Yeah, it looks like he's going in there, Tom. You know, over the last defensive drive that the guys were just out there, we saw Ben Roethlisberger slowly getting warmed up. He threw the ball a little bit, walked around, grabbed his gloves, walked around, did not grab his helmet to the very last minute. They did not rule him out, obviously, but he's going in to try to win this game.
You know, he got looked at halftime. He got treatment. He came back out. We were waiting to see if he was going to be able to come back in. He was. Probably could have come in a series or so sooner, but we were in the rhythm in Florida game. He was ready to go when he got back out there. He was medically clear when he got back out there. Obviously, he wasn't back out there at the start of the third quarter.
What's on tap brought to you by Fatheads Brewery. Well, here we are. Unbelievably talking about another Steelers loss, and this one focuses on everything you just heard there. The NFL on Fox, Shannon Spake at the half saying she talked to Mike Tomlin, who fully expected Ben to come back into the game. And Ben didn't come back in until the Raiders took a second half lead with 5 minutes left. And there was Mike Tomlin standing tall after the game talking about rhythm and flow when trying to explain or defend keeping Dobbs in for as long as he did, and also admitting maybe he could have gone to Ben sooner. So I was there. I know it's hard to believe that I got back here.
Yeah, it is kind of weird that you red-eyed it back.
I was in Oakland for that game.
I
was at the press conference.
I might say that you showed real dedication to get back here in time.
All right, don't go kissing my ass here to start the show.
Yeah, it's more me burying somebody else who wasn't back here
so,
today. But
I think that there's obviously been 12 to 16 hours of who's to blame for the way that went down, what happened, what are the reasons for waiting with Ben, what transpired, and I think it's pretty obvious what happened. I don't think it's that complicated. There are a lot of theories that have been floated out there that I think are kind of bizarre to me and really hard to believe, but when you don't get a direct answer, I think people are left to their own devices. But I think it's pretty clear what happened, Chris. I think what we saw and what I watched from my vantage point inside the stadium and then seeing everybody try to put it into words afterwards, I think they decided at halftime that Ben was only going to play in an emergency situation. That the only way he was going to go back into the game was if Josh Dobbs got hurt or if they fell behind late. And unless that happened, they were going to count on Dobbs to win them the game. And I think that is an arrogance for the situation. Like, we think so little of the Raiders. Our quarterback isn't 100%. So we're going to try to get by in this game and save Ben because we've got the Patriots and Saints coming up. Like, we're winning at the half. I've got faith in Dobbs. I trusted him so much in Baltimore. He came in the shadow of his own end zone and hit, Juju downfield for a big gain. Like, we can win this game with him. Ben, it's okay. You're not 100%. You're not exactly right. We're going to put you on ice, and we're going to count on Dobbs to win this game. And I can say that with confidence because we've seen Tomlin do that before. 2015, Ben gets hurt against the Raiders. Landry comes in, wins them the game in relief. The next week, they play the Browns. What happens? Landry starts the game, but Ben is healthy enough to be the backup? Remember that? That made no sense. Then Ben came in because Landry got hurt and he ended up throwing for 300 yards and three touchdowns.
You aren't Alabama. They aren't the College of Charleston. Everyone's getting paid. If your theory is right here, there is an arrogance and a dereliction of duty that is unmatched by the head coach and the quarterback.
How else would you explain he starts to get ready to come in when the Raiders are driving the ball down the field to take the lead? That's the sideline report. And I was watching Ben's actions while Oakland was moving closer and closer to the Steelers' goal line, and that's exactly what happened. He all of a sudden started feeling better when their lead was slipping away.
You're beating Oakland by four, a team you haven't beat there in a while, a place where you have a tortured recent history, okay? Just bear with me here. And you don't think that that is DEFCON 1 here? It is. The win is more important. Like, don't save the guy for next week. Now you're 7-5-1 because you did that. So I'm glad you arrogantly thought, Mike Tomlin, I think Ben has to be included in this decision, by the way, too. If you're going to cite this and say they decided at halftime he wouldn't play unless it was an emergency, then the quarterback had to have some agency in that decision. I'm sorry.
I think Ben just accepted the decision, and we can get
I don't think he accepted it. I think he happily went along with it, because if he didn't want to do it, he would have been out there.
Right, but I don't think it was his idea. I don't think it was his idea.
But he's just as guilty by not saying, you know what, this isn't probably a great plan. What made them think up 14-10 at halftime that they were that much better than the Raiders? It wasn't 31-0. That Juju circus catch didn't make it a 5-touchdown game. They were in a dogfight with a team that by that point in the game was clearly playing hard and thought they had a chance. What on earth were they thinking?
That they were good enough
with
a lead and with Dobbs to beat a 2-10 football team.
Oh, that's fun. Have they watched their defense play at all this year? Their defense sucks. Derek Carr dropped in a couple dimes, yes, but their defense stinks. If I were Mike Tomlin and I were a defensive guy, I would want to look myself in the mirror and say, you know what? No lead against any team is safe, because these guys are a bunch of tomato cans.
And I think Ben was just standing there thinking, you know what? Tomlin loves Dobbs. He believes in this guy so much, they changed their quarterback depth chart and their quarterback plans to keep him on the team. If he wants to roll with him, fine.
The quarterback should know better. I'm not putting this all at the feet of the head coach saying, because he was extremely arrogant. But this quarterback, if he wants to do something, or let me put it this way, if he feels like Mike Tomlin was making a horrible decision there that was going to cost him the game, he could have and would have and should have gone out there and played quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think every quarterback in the league would have accepted that. But let's go back to, again, past experiences. Ben agreed, because they were playing a 2-7 Browns team, to accept to dress in pads as a backup. He accepted that. He was cleared to play, but they didn't want to risk him in a game against Cleveland. He watches the Cincinnati playoff game and watches Jones throw an interception to Burfict, and then decides to come back in when Shazier strips the ball away from the Bengals running back. And then, okay, now I'm good enough to play. I'll come in and
That's
save the game.
It's a horrible reflection on him. I'm done then saying, because one of my things that I've used to couch sort of any criticism or soften any criticism of the quarterback is that I've always said I think he's way too much of a competitor to do X, Y, or Z. I'm done with that. If the sin on Mike Tomlin's part is arrogance, the sin on Ben Roethlisberger's part is apparently competitive indifference. You know what they say? Like, when bad things happen, the indifference of good men is just as bad. It's a movie trope, because it's in every superhero movie. I know you don't watch those. The Steelers could have used Ben Roethlisberger putting on the cape a hell of a lot earlier than he decided to. I mean, what a damning indictment of the head coach's arrogance at an institutional level to look down on a fellow NFL team that way. This ain't college. This isn't an FCS team. This isn't an NAIA team. This isn't the freaking Citadel you're playing. What arrogance on his part, and what a complete vacation.
Because
vacating of competitive kind of interests of Ben Roethlisberger.
Ben runs out.
Good God.
Ben runs out with like 8 minutes to go in the third quarter. And to go back to Tomlin's rhythm and flow quote, which has been, you know, jammed down his throat here and shoved in his face since he made that remark after the game. When Ben runs out, they are driving. That's the turnover on downs drive where they go for it on fourth and one. They sniff out the play action fake. and they make a tackle. So at that point, they get stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But they move the ball, so he brings Dobbs out for the next series, which is the interception.
That's insane.
And then after the interception, he put Dobbs back out there again.
It's just insane, actually, that he did what he did. That Mike Tomlin
he thought he could get away without playing Ben, and I think Ben was okay with it. And it is absolutely, you can never take them at their word again. They don't practice what they preach when it comes to treating every opponent the same. Because if this exact scenario played out this Sunday at Heinz Field, Ben is coming back into the game as soon as he gets the go-ahead from the doctors.
He probably doesn't even miss time at halftime, if I had to guess. Or after halftime. If the exact same scenario plays out, I have to believe he's out there for the first series of the
second
half. They
thought they could get away with it. They were absolutely looking at the big picture. Ben's already banged up. We don't want to aggravate this injury anymore. We're good enough to beat the Raiders without him.
That's how
they looked at it.
I'll go this far. Say they were by some insane situation winning 27-10 at the half this week against the Patriots, and Ben got dinged up though late in that first half, he would come out and play the first series of the second half, because they would not treat a 17-point lead against New England at home like it was a done deal.
Juju's touchdown catch doesn't get overturned at the half, I think he comes back out and starts the second half.
Then he's just as much to blame here. If your scenario and the stuff you said you saw on the sideline where Ben ramped it up as the Raiders were driving to take the lead, if that ends up being what happened here, and I don't think we're ever going to get a straight answer from any party involved here, I think it's going to be sort of smoke and mirrors and all that stuff. But if your theory is correct, Tomlin looks atrociously bad, and the quarterback looks terrible too.
I can tell you from firsthand knowledge, watching their mannerisms and interactions on the sideline, that it was not as if Ben was trying to cajole Tomlin or argue his way back into the game. He stood next to Randy Feuchner, and then he started going through the motions of getting ready when that Raiders drive happened, which made me think they all had a plan. It wasn't like Tomlin had to go up to Ben and say, "Hey, Ben, get going." It's like he knew, all right, the Raiders are in position to take the lead here. I'm going back into the game now.
So if the Raiders had somehow just kicked a field goal, right, and decided they were going to try to get one stop, right, down 14-13 there, just bear with me here. You know, if you come back in with your starter and you get a couple first downs, the game is over, correct?
Yeah.
Would he have come out when they were up? Would he have come out and played up 14-13?
Probably not. I think he might have, but I don't think it was a foregone conclusion.
That's insanity then. That's a complete dereliction of duty by the two most important people in the franchise, the head coach and the quarterback. It's an embarrassment. The arrogance on the part of the head coach, if your theory is right, is off the charts and completely unwarranted given what his team has done in Oakland, given the fact that his defense is a pile of trash for the most part and shows it every week, it seems. And it's an unbelievable, unbelievable dereliction of competitive responsibilities by the quarterback to go along with this.
I think they were looking at it like, if Ben goes back in and gets hurt in this game, our season is over. And they were discussing in that break, can we get away with Dobbs and win this
game
with him?
Talk about living in your fears.
Yes.
Because now your season...
That's exactly what it is, Chris.
Now your season might be over because he lost.
That gets thrown right back in his face. He did live in his fears. And we've seen him do it before with Ben. So...
Standard is the standards. We don't live in our fears. Except when we do. And it isn't.
Well, because he has cliches that contradict each other. When he puts the starter back in the game, he says, "We don't live in our fears." When he doesn't put the starter back in the game, he says, "Next man up, the standard is the standard." He's got, you know, stupid tropes and axioms to go by for any situation, and it blew up in his face. And everybody looks bad. The quarterback looks bad. The coach looks bad. The organization looks awful.
Better pull off a miracle next week, because you ain't beating New Orleans in New Orleans. You're probably not beating New England. When do they lose two in a row? Especially when the head coach is the actual guy that biffs it there.
So that's just my personal experience from being there. What do you think happened? 412-928-9370. Who or what do you blame for what happened with Ben? Waiting on Ben, taking their time with Ben, waiting until the Raiders got the lead with Ben, and once he went in and orchestrated a touchdown drive, it was too little too late. 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. An awful loss. And we're putting it on the coach and the quarterback. both? Which one deserves more blame? What do you think happened?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.